at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now the host of the show, Rich Orris.
All right. Good morning, St. Louis. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. You have made it. You are here. You've made it to the one and only KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris. Every Saturday, we spend a couple of hours talking about the place that matters most to you, your home. What's going on at your home? The lines are open right now, 314-436-7900. Again, that's 314-436-7900. You can give me a call with your questions about maintenance, repairs, remodeling projects you've been thinking about, whether it's fixing a leaky faucet, updating a bathroom, or maybe you're planning a major, major renovation. I'm here to help you sort it out and make some smart choices for your projects. So grab your tool belt, your radio, take a look around your house, and then give me a call. Again, 314-436-7900. For the next 2 hours, we've got your home improvement questions covered right here. The lines are open. And last week, we had a really great guest on with Rebuilding Together. Anthony Gartner was with us, and we had some really good conversations and some great questions coming in and some really good calls with questions in, but also good conversations with Rebuilding Together about who they are and what they do and just what's happening out there. So, hey, we've got people rolling in already. We've got them jumping in here. So let's get to Will and just get this party started with everybody. Hey, Will, you there? Oh, first caller is Greg. I'm sorry, Greg. Is Greg there? Let's see if we can get Greg on the line.
Hello,
I'm here. Yeah, Greg. All right, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Perfect, perfect. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Okay, so we've determined we've got a leak in our freshwater supply line somewhere between the meter and where it enters the foundation of the house. There's no signs or indication on the surface of the ground, no wet spots, no green spots, no soft spots, nothing to indicate where the leak is actually at. Any suggestions on how do you figure out where the leak is at so you don't dig up the whole yard, or any recommendations on people to talk to specifically?
Yes. So, boy, the problem is I'm going to draw a blank on their name, and I could try and maybe look it up, but there are leak detection companies out there. There's a leak detection company that kind of uses different tools, different devices with like sound and kind of sonar things, and they can narrow down those leaks. I had a leak on a gas line that went way through a yard to their whole home generator. It was kind of far from the house, at probably about a 75-foot line from the house out to this generator, and they located where in the yard that leak was so that we could dig up basically in that area and get that fixed for the client. And so I'm drawing a blank on the name of the company that did that, but it is definitely, there's leak detection companies out there. You can like Google and see, I can't remember the name of the one that we use, but yes, they're out there and they can narrow that down for you. Is it pretty long? Is it you got a big front yard?
I measured it. It's about 45 feet from the meter to where it goes in the foundation.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good distance. And depending on the type of pipe, it may be worth just maybe replacing it from the meter all the way. Mm-hmm. And so another way that you can do that, that it's if you bore it, you can just basically they dig down at both ends and they bore a line from one end to the other. So it's like digging two deep holes. Mm-hmm. You bore the new line in, then they hook it up at each end and you get that new line all the way from the meter to the house. So how old is your home?
7 years.
Seven. Okay, so you've got, then that's probably worth a repair then, because if you were in a much, much older neighborhood that maybe you had a possibility of lead or some other type of pipe that they want to get rid of anyways, it'd be worth just kind of replacing the whole thing. But if you're in a pretty new home, pretty newer neighborhood, then, yeah, it's just going to be a repair. So, yeah, Google
any
some
recommendations
leak detection
for plumbers
companies.
Or
uh-huh.
Any recommendations for plumbers to do the actual repair?
So that too is going to be, because not all plumbers will do the actual lines in the ground. The
right.
Not all of them will do the sewer lateral, and not all of them will do the line coming in, but they have companies that they usually either use, or there's certain plumbers that do. What area are you in?
St. Charles.
Out in St. Charles, yeah. So we're out in Kirkwood, and Kirkwood Plumbing probably wouldn't want to come all the way out that way.
Right.
I don't have a good recommendation for a plumber out in St. Charles. Sorry.
Yep. That's okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Yeah, no problem. Just Google some leak detection, see if some companies come up, and give them a shout and see how they can help you.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, perfect. Hey, I think we're going to jump into our first break here real quick. John, if you could hold the line, we'll jump to you as soon as we return after this. For everybody else, we'll be here. We got a lot of time. We got a lot going on with a lot we can cover today. But your story is my story. Your question is the topic of today. 314-436-7900. Don't touch that dial. We're back. And hey, we've got a lot going on. A couple calls getting lined up here. So go ahead and jump in. We'll have plenty of time for everybody today. 314-436-7900. We got no cards cutting in, not till this evening. We've got no guests today. So you can be my guest today. Again, 314-436-7900. Let's jump right to John. Hey, John, can you hear me? What's going on? How can we help?
I can hear you, Rich.
All right.
Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thanks
okay,
for calling.
Rich, I have, thank you for taking my call. Rich, I have a aunt that's living in a retirement community, and her air conditioner started kind of freezing up yesterday. And it's the first time I have come across a trap being on like the A-coil.
We lost John right in the middle of the conversation. John just cut out on us, so some technical difficulties there. So we've got Brent on the line. Let's jump over to Brent and see if we can get this to work out any better for us. You there?
Hey, good morning, Rich. How are you?
All right. Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you, Brent?
Doing great. Hey, we just purchased a new home. We're in your neighboring community in Webster Groves, and we've got five different types of flooring on the first level, and we're looking to rip it all out and put some hardwoods in. Got hardwoods going in every different direction and carpeting and everything that needs to be ripped up. I was just looking for a recommendation on, first of all, what we need to think about with the hardwoods, and then if you have any recommendations on who to install the hardwoods too. So just appreciate your show and your time.
Oh, absolutely. No, I appreciate all that. And that is a great, great question and something worth thinking about, because really your biggest topics and product types to think about with hardwood flooring is going to be, do you do an actual hardwood floor that they site finish at your house, they install it, they sand it all down, you pick the color, they stain it all, they coat it all, and depending on the age of your house and in Webster, it's going to be old, but that's one of the reasons you have five different types of floor, because people just kind of jump around and they put in different types, because it's not inexpensive to do an entire house full of hardwood. But picking through either the site finished or a pre-finished, where it all comes in pre-finished and they're just installing, and then really trying to figure out in Webster, you probably have some older, more than likely base trim. Do you have kind of a taller base trim?
Yeah.
That's okay. Kind of older style. So a lot of those, you can leave that base trim in and put quarter round, like a larger sized quarter round around. And that kind of creates your space for some of that hardwood away from the trim and away from the wall that you would need. So you might not need to actually take all your base trim off and put it all back on, leading to a lot of painting and caulking, and then the caulk gets on the wall, and then you're painting the wall too. So a lot of these jobs, you end up kind of painting base trim and wall along with flooring if you have a more modern, thin kind of base trim that you need to pull off and put back to get that distance. So that's kind of helpful. And then picking the size of the board, if they're, because some older homes like yours out in Webster, some of them have some really thin boards where they're only, the actual width of the board is only about an inch and a half. Some are like inch and a quarter, inch and a half, inch and three quarter. And that's a really cool old feature from a long time ago, that if you have some of that in your home, and maybe a couple of the rooms have it, you might want to consider that look everywhere. It's a little more rare, and your dollar signs, it's kind of like being at the restaurant and you've got $1 sign for this kind of meal and two for this and three for this. That'll get you about to the highest level there if you get like a thin board like that. But it goes great with your house, your area, the age of the house. Finding what would have been there is a really cool feature, and you're not going to find a lot of that out of the pre-finished. Now, the benefit of the pre-finished is they can kind of install that as they go, and so basically you don't have to completely empty the house to get new floors everywhere. And if you're doing a job site finish, older, thinner board, and they're going to do all these finishes and coats on site, every room getting the floors will need to be 100% empty.
So, we plan on having an empty house and doing the painting and the flooring first, but would you take up all of the baseboards when you do this?
Not necessarily, because if you have the bigger, taller, they're like 5-6 inch tall, older baseboards, you can use, there's a couple sized quarter rounds, so you can use a decent size, like a 3/4 inch by 3/4 inch quarter round, which will look fine against a really big base trim. And that will definitely cover any gaps in that hardwood floor, where if they get a spot where the base is kind of low and the hardwood floor can't get under it, they can still leave that hardwood floor about a half inch off that base trim and still put down a big enough quarter round to cover the gap. So you have your space for expansion and contraction still. So you don't have to, it's just a matter of, well, one, what do you want to do? Are you planning on, is there a bunch of different base trims and you're planning on maybe trying to get them all back to the old style? So you're going to be changing a bunch anyways, then I'd probably just go ahead and do it and just do it all. Or if it's all kind of that old tall trim and you talk to the flooring company and say, yep, here's kind of, you know, we do this all the time. We never take that base trim off, and they can show you the quarter round. Here's the piece we would use. It'll cover all the gaps. You'll be good. Then you don't necessarily need to. Every situation is a little different, but you definitely don't necessarily need to. If you were in a newer home with 3 1/4 colonial base trim, that's about a half inch thick, I'd say take it all off.
Okay. And then now, kind of switching directions there, what about floating a new thin vinyl floor over the existing floor to save money? Do you recommend that, or is that, something you've seen done?
So they, I mean, you definitely have the floating floors that can go on top of a hardwood floor. And that is that definitely saves money of tearing everything out. And that is a little more cost effective floor itself. So that is a possibility. I don't know that when you shop and see them, it's just a question of, do you find something that will work like that, that you'll like, that'll fit the look and the age of the home that you really, really know and love and want to have in an older home like that. And you still might end up with either different levels, or you'll definitely end up with transitions in little transition strips at your doorways between different rooms, like maybe from the living room to the kitchen through the pass-through. You'll end up with these transition strips that are basically covering a spot that lets that floor expand and contract a little bit and lets it kind of move around. And if they don't put those transition strips in, you could end up with issues of the floor buckling up or lifting up off the other floor because it's kind of too tight and there's too long of a run. You can only install so much of it before it just can't move and can't do all the things that it needs to, and that can cause problems too. So just a lot of homeowners don't always like seeing all those transition strips at like every bedroom and every area.
Yeah.
It kind of makes it look choppy like you have now with a bunch of different ones. And so that's why they'll go with just either a pre-finished or a job site finished hardwood floor throughout anything, same level, everything smooth, or good, easy, smooth transitions from one room to the next. Because if you're the next decision is, how long are you going to stay in this house? Because if you have these transition pieces, it doesn't sound like much, but then as you age, it's nice to have a smooth floor. If you needed a walker or anything like that down the road, you can just kind of mosey on around one level, everything's smooth, and you have little issue with transitioning from one room to the next. And those strips can get kind of a little complicated when you're older and trying, if you're aging in place and want to stay in this home for a long time, you might want to look way down the future like that.
Well, I appreciate your time. Any vendors that you recommend to do the hardwoods refinishing or put laying new boards down? Anybody you recommend in Webster or Kirkwood area?
So we have a trade partner that we've used for a whole lot of years. They'll come out there. They go everywhere and they do a lot for us. And they're out of Florissant, Missouri, and the name is called Classic Carpet. And they do hardwood pre-finish, the job site finish. They do all the different types of hardwood.
Awesome. Well, I love your show, Rich, and I appreciate your time. And I hope you have a great rest of your Saturday. Go Mizzou Tigers.
Yes, definitely. Hey, I appreciate the call and the time and getting through that. That is definitely a big decision and a lot to think about. So definitely take your time and get in there and just think about it and see the different prices and really make a good educated decision is what I really try and get through to everybody. But hey, we're right about the middle hour. Let's jump into a quick break. We've got some more calls pouring in here. Coming back with Mark and John. If you guys can hang on here for just a couple minutes, we'll take a quick break. For everybody else, you can find me at 314-436-7900. More home improvement after this. All right, welcome back, Home Improvement Show. Got great calls, great questions coming in. Really, it is great to think about all the different options so that you know and understand what the possibilities are and you can make a good decision on that. So if you need something like that, like we just had, feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. I think we got another Mark on the line. Mark, can you hear me? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling. How can we help you, sir?
My question is regarding to a plumbing question to the main shutoff valve from the street. We had a plumber come in to replace the main shutoff valve in the basement, and he told me, well, we need to shut off the water at the street. So we went out to the yard. We could not find it. The house is 75 years old. It's in Overland. Okay. So we said, call the water company and they'll mark it. So we called the water company and they came out and they used blue paint and they just made a line to the house, but it didn't circle anything where the meter or the shutoff is. So we kind of dug around on that line and we found the clay pipe and there was no cover on it. It was all filled with dirt. We dug down about 2 feet and did not find anything. I called the water company back and they said, oh yeah, we couldn't find it either. We're sending somebody out. My question is, first of all, is that shutoff valve the homeowner's responsibility or is that the water company?
So that, I mean, it's definitely, that's hard to say depending on kind of where you are and everything. Cause I have had areas where I think it should be the water companies, but I've also had where that the access to that got kind of messed up and kind of crooked and it was hard to get into and have had the homeowner have to pay a plumber to kind of dig that up and fix that and re-straighten that. So, and what you should be looking for, like the clay pipe that you found, was it about 4-5 inches around?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yes. So that would be to the actual sewer drain, to the actual sewer lateral.
No,
is that to the shutoff?
That's in another part of the street, of the yard. We know where that's at.
Okay. So
right,
maybe that is
with
it.
The blue paint.
Okay. So that could be it. Usually those are a little bit smaller though. Usually it's about at the very top, it's only about 3-4 inches around. It's about a 2-inch pipe. And a lot of times they're more like a cast iron and they're actually adjustable where it's not easy to adjust them because they're so old, but the top piece usually screws on and you can raise it. It gets covered with dirt and grass. You can dig it up and unscrew it to kind of raise the height and then get it above flush with that grass again. Yeah. So usually they're like a cast iron or something like that at the top, at least.
I didn't I thought maybe because of the age of the house, 75 years, maybe at that time they just used a clay pipe.
They, very well could have, because it's everything changes as we go. And so definitely in each different area might have used something different way back then a little bit. My thought is more if something's wrong with that shutoff, it definitely involves the water company. And I think that shutoff would be basically their responsibility, but I don't know if they hold the homeowner. I've seen them hold the homeowner accountable for the access piece to it and it getting covered up. And the couple I've seen, like trees grow roots and it kind of tips it to the right. So you can't stick the pipe down there cause it's crooked and kind of bent. And then they had to straighten it back up. So, and I've seen them make the homeowner be responsible for that part.
Okay. So I just have to wait till they come out and see what they have to say.
Yeah. See if they can locate that and then just kind of be like, you guys fix this, right? I'd start with that.
So is that about 3 foot down? Is that what it should be? The line?
Definitely they're a good, even deeper than that, a lot of times, maybe like 5 feet. They could be 4, 5, 6 feet down to that. Usually they're coming in about, if you have an 8 foot pour foundation, they come in about midway, 3-4, 3 feet or so, 3-4 feet from the floor. So they're good. They're definitely going to be below like 3 feet or more, okay, just because the frost line in St. Louis is about 30 inches. Okay. And so it will be at least 3 to 4 feet.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. No problem. Very welcome.
One quick other question.
Uh-huh.
What kind of shutoff valve would you recommend for in the basement? A quarter turn one or a screw one or what?
For like the main shutoff?
Main shutoff to the house.
To the actual house. So if you could do not like the quarter turns are good. The bigger ones with the blue kind of blue handle, like a lever handle. Those are really nice. And the main thing is if they put on one like that, you just want to always kind of turn it back on and off slow. You don't want to just lift that all the way and get full pressure. You can still kind of do it an eighth and a quarter and a half. And then, so if you shut the water off at any point, turning it back on, you want to do that kind of a little bit of time, let that water just start to fill up. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for the information.
All right. Perfect. Perfect, Mark. I appreciate the call. Let's jump over to John. Is it John? How you doing there?
It's good. How are you?
Very good. Is this the same John or different John? The one we lost.
This is a different John.
Oh, different John. Okay. Not a problem. So what's going on? How can I help you?
So I was just calling about previous callers, and I'll start with Mark, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I would recommend a three-quarter, I don't know what's water line, a ball valve. Valves are full port, meaning there's zero restriction. If it's a three-quarter line, then you have a three-quarter valve without restriction. So the ball valve would be the thing. And typically in Missouri, St. Louis area, they do use curb stops. Okay. And I think the frost line is actually 18 inches, and water lines are usually about a bare minimum of 30 inches in this region. Okay. I've got a lot of years in working for public water supply. So
perfect. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I want to go back to the other caller. Hopefully he's listening.
And the ball valve was what I was trying to think of with the handle. Yeah.
Yeah, when you start using a screw valve, like a gate valve or something like that, you're restricting your volume big time.
Yeah.
So the ball valve is full port, meaning that if you have a three-quarter line and a three-quarter ball valve, you have zero restriction. It's the same as the inside diameter of the line it's serving. Okay.
Yep.
So that's the answer there. Back to the caller who had the water line that was leaking. He didn't know where.
Yeah.
With his house being 7 years old, there's a lot of information I don't know. Is it a slab house or is it a basement? Okay. So I'm going to go with the thought that it's a basement. The house 7 years old. The water line 7 years old. I would say with 90% certainty that it is shearing off at the wall. The overdig from the construction of the house is just now settling, and it's yanking the water line. It's trying to shear it off right at the foundation. Okay.
Okay.
So I mean, look, 7 years old. I would say with certainty that would be the place to start. I'd start at one end or the other, either at the meter or the house, and the house first, because that's the only place at this point in time where there's movement, and the movement being from the overdig. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense on a pipe new for sure. Absolutely.
Yes.
And I was going to try and say, too, because I just did a little Google search, and the company I used, and maybe you have a recommendation, too, there was a company called American Leak Detection, and they use some kind of equipment with like sound and stuff to locate like where a leak was in a gas line way out in a yard for us a long time ago. So if you're still not sure, that's who I used a quite some years ago to find a leak.
I'm over here on the Illinois side, and I've done a lot of work in Missouri, But another contributing factor that makes sense to it not surfacing is the fact that the foundation is only 7 years old, and that overdig, considering it's a basement, it's like a sponge. His sump pump may be running. I don't know what kind of, I don't know how much he's leaking, but so, yeah. That foundation around the whole perimeter of that house is a big sponge. It won't surface. Now, a line 7 years old, 20 feet away from the foundation, it would probably surface as opposed to following the line after 7 years and surface. Okay, but up against the foundation, it has no reason to surface. It wants to go down into that fresh foundation overdig. Okay.
Oh yeah, and that overdig will be settling, and that's probably helping.
Yeah.
You put the pressure on the pipe and cause the leak and everything.
I'd measure it out from the basement and dig it down. You'd probably find it about 30 inches down from the top of the earth outside. And I feel confident that's where you'd find the leak, you know?
Yep. All right. Well, hopefully Greg's still on the line with us here or listening here on the show. And that is some well thought out, a lot of water line experience help there, and I really appreciate that. And I do like the fact that sometimes we call on electricians or plumbers when it gets kind of complicated. So that's awesome. I appreciate the call and the tips for all the St. Louis homeowners there. John, we got to get into a quick break here. So Jim, if you can hang on for me, and we'll get to you as soon as we return. Everybody else, 314-436-7900. Get you right here to me. More to come after this. Welcome back. Home Improvement Show. We got a little short segment here, so let's jump straight in the line here to Jim and see how we can help. Jim, are you there?
Yes, sir. My question is on basement floor joists. Our daughter and son-in-law just purchased a house. And in the basement, the floor joists are like a solid wood on top, solid wood on the bottom, and in between looks like plywood. What's your opinion of that?
My opinion of that, it works fine, and they can span further. That's why they do that. Those can have a good bit of deflection where they kind of dip down sometimes, so they'll allow them to do that quite a bit. With the span that they can cover, as far as you can put one of those and not have a post or a beam underneath it for further than you can a standard 2x10. So that's why they use those. The thing that they found out kind of later about those is the burn rating.
Yeah.
That's the biggest concern with that type, is it takes a lot longer to burn through an inch and a half piece of wood than it does a half inch piece of plywood. So now when we use those in new homes today, in most areas, they have to fire rock and fire tape, like drywall, the bottom of those floor joists across that entire basement when they build the house.
Our house is like 33 years old. You know, it's solid wood. And Bill Williams built our house. He's a very good builder. And I talked to one of his employees here a while back, and he says the only thing that is kind of bad about them, the fire department don't like them.
Yep. Yeah, and that's why they've changed the rules. And I've even gotten into basement remodels. So what they've done is they've changed the rules when we remodel a basement, when they have those floor joists. So if we finish off a basement that have those floor joists, they will make us drywall the underside of that in any unfinished area that's left. And mm-hmm. and that is, it's difficult to do once the house is built, because you got electric lines and water lines and stack pipes coming through, and you've got all this, all these components in the way. And so it is hard to do, and they don't make us move ductwork and quite all of that, but they want it sealed up as much as possible to slow that fire down. So, yeah, that was kind of a big thing for our industry when they were like, oh, look, wow, we didn't think of that because they've had some bad fires where that floor can collapse.
Yeah, the house is like 11 years old, and I've talked, you know, a couple of other people may think it's a good, you know, floor joist. There's nothing to be concerned about then.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good floor joist. There's really nothing to be concerned other than the fact if you do have a really bad fire. Make sure your smoke detectors are up to code. 11-year-old house, they should be. So they all go off, they warn you, and you can get everybody out of the house safely prior to that. And it is what it is, but the only other thing you could do is have a drywall company come in and drywall the underside of that whole ceiling with fireproof drywall. Yeah. Then they tape it and they seal it and they tape it up against and they foam spray around pipes and stuff to just kind of contain that fire into the basement. So gives you more time to come out of the house, but that's not a cheap endeavor.
I know I'm an 82-year-old dinosaur, and I thank you for your opinion. You've helped me out a lot, and it gives my mind a little more ease of rest. Thank you, sir.
Yes, absolutely. Not a problem at all. So we are getting a little short on time. Let's jump to Al real quick. Al, we've got about a minute and a half, and if you need to hold on through the break, we can get back to you, too. What's your question?
It's real quickie. It's they came and turned my pilot light off on my water heater yesterday to install my gas logs,
uh-huh.
But they forgot to turn it back on. And I'm trying to do it myself. It says, you know, turn it on pilot and hold it in. And
yep.
I didn't hear nothing. Come on, am I supposed to put a flame somewhere? Or
So usually there's a when you do that, there should be a spot that clicks, and then once it clicks to kind of light that pilot, sometimes you have to hold that button down with that pilot on for like a minute and a half, for a long time. Yeah, it could take quite a while. So once that gets lit, if you let it go and that pilot light goes out, you just got to really hold it down. Try it for like a minute or so and see if that helps. And then once you let it go, then you turn it to that on position if it stays lit.
Oh, okay, but I don't need to put no flame to it.
Not most newer, unless it's a older.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, if it's newer, it should have like a light where it just clicks, and it's kind of like a gas grill with the click button or whatever, and it just lights it up for you. So, but look in there and make sure. That's a good idea too, because that might not be working. Or if it never stays on, it could be your thermocouple just going bad, and that needs to be replaced, because that'll help keep that pilot light lit also.
Well, I sure appreciate it. I just don't want to explode or going up in a blaze of flame or something.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, you're welcome. You should be good. Just my guess is you just need to hold that button down for longer. So, hey, great calls, great questions. We're going to get into our long news break, and we'll be back in the next hour.